Ace Podcast.
This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
Hello and welcome to the Not Alone podcast. I'm Sam Fredrickson.
And I'm Jason Moitoso.
And this week we have a very, very interesting, special, super, totally real good story that we're going to be talking about.
It's so good, he hasn't even told me what it is yet.
So we were supposed to do an interview with somebody else. We're not going to say anything because we're going to do that interview eventually. I want it to be a surprise. But we were supposed to do an interview. Things fell through at the last minute. So I've spent all day just immersing myself in this topic, and I thought it would be really fun to not tell Jason what it was and not give him the notes and just see how he feels about everything that we're doing. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be a good time.
Animosity. That's what I'm feeling.
Good. I like that's a good start.
Perfect. I like that. All right. Well, we'll see how this goes, Sam. What are we talking about today?
Today.
Oh, it's about the government, isn't it?
Today, no. I am holding my hands like Morpheus. Today, dear Jason and dear listeners.
You're so... Wait. Embrace the moment. How great is it right now?
It's so great.
All right, what are we talking about?
We are talking about one of the best stories. One of the greatest stories to ever grace our small planet.
It's an owl.
It's actually not an owl. It's a mongoose.
What?
Today we are talking about Jeff the Talking Mongoose. I am not kidding you. I am not making this up.
No.
This is a real documented thing that happened. People saw it.
Is it like a dog saying hello?
No. It's not one of those terrible demon videos that I hate so
much. Or like
much.
A goat talking?
No.
Oh my
this
God.
This is a whole this is thing.
It's not a cartoon character, right?
It's not a cartoon character.
Based off of a thing? No,
It essentially, Jeff, why call it it? That's rude. Jeff, he has a name, was essentially a being that lived in the walls of a farmhouse that was owned by a family by the name of Irving.
What do you mean lived in the walls?
Lived in the walls. And it was seen a little bit. It would come out, be seen... It would talk to them almost constantly. It gave one time...
Was it sage advice?
No. Oh. One time, it gave an interview to a local paper.
What?
Another time, I mean...
Where did this take place?
This took place on the Isle of Man, which is a little isle...
Yeah, I know where it's at.
Good.
Why didn't it, like, not become international news?
I mean, there was I don't think it was international.
How long ago was this?
This was here. Okay, you're trying to prime the pump here, get things going. I get you. Let me
try to understand
this,
Sam.
For a moment. Well, you're gonna understand.
Okay,
we're gonna get into all that. But it was
so lost.
It gave an interview to a newspaper man.
A newspaper man. Oh man!
Except it'd be a British newspaper.
You mean like
man.
A journalist?
Sure.
Hey, there's the word for it.
Hey. It also was seen by multiple people, not only just the family. It spoke to multiple people, not only just the family. It is truly
fascinating. We're talking about a mongoose.
We are talking about...
This is it.
What could be a mongoose.
This is the high point.
I think this is where we jump the shark.
This is...
I think that after this...
This is the pinnacle.
I think we should just... You know, I'm going to list all of our mics and stuff on Craigslist right after this, because why even do another episode? We'll have unlocked the mysteries of the universe at the end of this hour, so...
Can't wait for that.
Good. All right.
Go for it.
So, and I titled this part
Sam,
of the notes.
Sam, tell me about Jeff.
I titled this part of the notes, let's cut the crap and talk about this talking mongoose. So that's what we're going to do. All right. Take a breath. Close your eyes. Lean back. We're going back in time now.
Doing neither of those.
He is just staring at me. with daggers. I specifically did this week because I did not want to have to put up with a whole week of you being a jerk about it any other week.
That's fair. That's fair. All right.
I figured it was a good idea. Our story begins in the year 1931 on the Isle of Man, located on a farm known as Dorlish Cashin. Now, the farm was owned by a Mr. and Mrs. Jim and Margaret Irving and their 12-year-old daughter, whose name, I believe, is Vori. It's V-O-I-R-R-E-Y. So that's how we're going to pronounce that. There was no electricity in the home. It was idyllic, beautiful. It was on the top of a hill, had great views, and they had a relatively peaceful, normal life until September of that year, 1931. Now, the weirdness started as noise, a constant noise coming from inside the walls of the house. The entire family heard it. There was scratching, scurrying around like there's movement, and Jim and the rest of the family as well decided, okay, it's probably just a rat. So they start setting out traps and poison, trying to kill it, catch it, just like you would with any other trap. But every time, it's just completely unsuccessful. It looks as though things are interacting here, like it's taking the bait from the trap, but it's just not getting trapped. And he begins to get extremely frustrated. The moment that he realizes something is strange is that he got so upset that he claimed that he growled like a dog at the wall when he realized that another one of his traps had been struck, and then the wall growled back at him. I love this story so much.
I'm glad you're enjoying this, Sam.
Dude, come on, just get into it.
I'm trying. I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best too.
Now, what Jim realized, right? So he had growled like a dog at the wall. What he realized is it wasn't a dog growling back. It was the voice of a human pretending to be a dog. It was a perfect mimicry of what Jim had just done. And
is it like an echo?
Kind of like an echo, except you don't usually have like a loud audible echo in your house.
Just planting the seed.
If you wanna,
disbelief.
If you want to argue that everything that happened here was an echo from people just screaming really loud at their walls, I'm on board with that.
If you're stuck on the Island of Man.
It's not a great place to be. I don't know that for sure. I'm sure it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
After this, the family became intrigued with whatever it was that was within the wall. And they would attempt different kind of animal calls. They'd pretend to be cats, cows, other kinds of dogs, anything and everything they could think of. And every time they made a sound, the wall made it back to them exactly the same. However, after a little while, they realized they didn't even have to make the noise. They could say wall or whatever they called it before they knew its name. You know, give me a cow, give me a cat, give me a bat, give me a rat, give me all this, and it would just do anything. But then things started to get a little weird, and one day,
like talking to a wall. If that's not weird.
Weird in the context of you are already sitting and talking. They didn't have television, so I assume this is what they did all day. This was like a real good get for the Irving family.
This makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. And so weird in the context of you're already talking to your wall for multiple hours a day, and then it gets weird. So the next thing that happened is that one day they wake up, I believe it was in the evening, as they were sleeping, to the sound of a baby crying. And they searched the entire house.
God, I hate that. Yeah, why? Dude. Why is it always a baby crying?
Dude, it gets... Oh,
always is.
I love this. It's a baby crying. This is weird because they don't have a baby in the house. So it wouldn't have been...
You don't say.
Well, it wouldn't have been mimicking a baby crying like it was with mimicking the sound of a cat or horse, whatever.
Right.
Is that how it
goes? That was my growl. my dog growl.
All right. I can dig that. So they're running all over the place. They don't even really at first connect it with the wall because, again, it's not mimicking anything until they realize that is, in fact, where it's coming from. Now, around this time, Vori becomes much more intrigued with the mystery than either of her parents and was interested in figuring out just how well this thing could mimic human speech. And she starts to recite nursery rhymes to the wall.
Oh, God.
No. Uh-huh. And the wall, of course. The thing about this is, like, a lot of people who talk about Jeff the Mocking Tongoose. About Jeff. Is that they kind of just treat it as, like, this funny, oh, there was a talking rat. Oh, how funny. But, like, this story is actually really unsettling if you let it be. So, it does.
We're talking about a wall that's repeating nursery rhymes. Yeah, that's...
After making the sound of crying children, yeah. So, she's reciting nursery rhymes. The wall starts reciting them back in this sort of high-pitched, squeaky kind of a voice. And the creature was also able to sing. And she would sing songs to it. It would come back. Until now, all of the activity, for the most part, other than that crying baby noise, had come from the family directly addressing the wall when the creature was in it. However, it started to be that this thing would eavesdrop on the family. And...
Well, I mean, what else is he going to do all day?
I mean, he's stuck in a wall. It's just not fair to not let him eavesdrop. And... It pretty much anywhere within the house. Jim claims that the creature had phenomenal powers of hearing, could hear a whisper from 20 feet away. And what was really not great is that, especially if you were whispering, it would hear what you said and then just kind of scream it out loud for anybody in the house to hear.
Like a parrot.
Kind of like a parrot, yeah. And so it got to the point where they couldn't even have, like, conversations, private conversations, because this voice from the wall...
That dang daughter of ours, she's messing up.
Exactly. Well, it really was. It was like, you know, if you're having issues with the farm and the parents want to talk about it, but they can't because the voice will be like, we're going to lose the farm, buddy. And the daughter gets freaked out and stuff like that. It's really a lot more sinister than it seems to just hear, well, it was listening to them and repeating what they say. Now, the rodents... Because they thought it was a rat.
Yeah.
The rodent's reign of terror was just beginning. One day, okay, they're sitting in absolute silence, not saying a word to each other. They don't want the voice to repeat anything. And suddenly, it just announces to the room. It says, hello. And he would always call Jim and Margaret by their names. He never really called Vori by her name, but he said, like, hello, Jim. Hello, Margaret. My name is Jeff.
No.
I am absolutely not a rat. I am a bushy-tailed mongoose and an extra, extra clever mongoose at that. And Jeff begins to tell them the story of his life, his own, like, little origin story.
That's amazing. Now, tell me, Jeff. All wise and clever, clever mongoose.
Who are you, Jeff? Now remember, we're looking at the year 1931.
Why did you go into my wall?
What? From whence did you come? From where shall you return? Why can you not leave? Well, and that was the other thing, is he spoke in, like, these and thous sometimes as well. So there was one point when Jim was like, do you even know what you are? And he's like, I know what I am, but thou shalt never know the truth of what I be, because thou shalt not comprehend it. He was an interesting.
He liked Shakespeare, probably.
Yeah, probably. So, right, we're in 1931. That's when this happens. Jeff begins to tell them of his origins and how he grew up as a young mongoose in New Delhi, India. Now, he was born...
Sure you did, Jeff.
He was born in 1852, which means that at the time of his encounter with the Irvings, he was around 79 years old. The average lifespan for a mongoose is 15 to 20 years.
So he's a very special mongoose.
He's a very extra, extra clever mongoose and very special. Now, in India, he was hunted by farmers and eventually captured and owned by a man who wore a green turban. The man took him all the way through the Middle East and Egypt, then on to England, where he was sold to a buyer on the Isle of Man to help with a local vermin infestation. Now, this part is true, and at least this part could be true.
There was a
vermin issue just a few miles down the road about 20 years before
until Jeff got there. Or not after Jeff got there.
He did so good.
He cleaned it up.
So good. about 20 years before this,
then he retired and hit the wall.
I've done all I can do. I'm gonna go live in this wall. I don't know why it sounds like bad Forrest Gump. About 20 years earlier, there had been a rodent infestation at the farm just a couple of miles down the road, and that was where Jeff was brought, and he did his job, did it very well. Now, at one point, shortly after contact, Jeff tells the family that he was just joking. He could speak the whole time, but he was having a laugh, and he yelled, I love this story.
Jeff is a troll, isn't he?
He is. Jeff is a, he's definitely a troll. Like, not a mythological troll, like an internet troll. He says, I could have talked the whole time. I'm just making fun of you and laughing at you. And then he says, if you knew what I know, you'd know a hell of a lot, because, that was his exact words, because I am omniscient. I know everything. And then they're like, okay, Jeff, do you want to live in this little boxed off part of the house? And he was like, yes, please. It is a fitting throne for my glory. And they called it. It was kind of cute. It was a boxed in area of the rafters in Vori's room. And they called it Jeff's sanctum. It was the sanctum of Jeff. So that was fun.
I wonder if he named himself or if someone named him. I wonder how he spelt it.
I can tell you how he spelt it.
Was it the G-E-O-F-F?
No, it's G-E-F.
Fine.
Fine. You were close. You weren't too far off. All right, now around this time, the family begins to try to take photographs of Jeff. And because he's rarely seen, they also just start trying to draw illustrations of him. He responds with not an appropriate amount of anger. Like, he was more than just like a little miffed. And this is the first time he threatens the family. He says that he will kill all of their poultry if they don't respect him. He will find them wherever they are and he will kill them. But if they treat him good and they're kind to him, he will give them good luck and bring them good fortune. Beyond his minor psychopathy...
Well, hot dog!
Hot dog. He wasn't all that bad to live with, though. He would warn the family of strangers coming onto their land. He would turn off the stove, turn off the lights if somebody else forgot to do so. He would even go around and tidy up the house and pick up after people sometimes. He would also bring home rabbits for the family to eat. He'd like just leave them on the doorstep.
See, I'd be worried that he'd poison them.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
Lace it with something.
What's strange about it was always Margaret who found the rabbits. He brought rabbits home for the family, but he preferred chocolate, and they would just leave it around the house for him, and he'd just pick it up and go. Margaret would remark.
It sounds wonderful.
It sounds like a great relationship. Margaret would remark that the rabbits did not have the same kind of wounds as if they were attacked by a wild animal, but instead it looked as if they had been strangled with tiny little hands. Sometimes Jeff got in a very talkative mood, and he would just talk and babble, not even talking to anybody, just babbling to himself for hours on end. And then a lot of times after he did this, it's almost as if he's like escalating. And then he would scream, vanished, and then he'd be quiet for like a few days. And when he came back from being quiet, he told the family that he took the bus into town. And he spied on all of their neighbors, and he was bringing back the hot gossip.
Heck yeah, Jess!
But the thing about it is the hot gossip that he brought back was the exact same stuff that they had talked about while he was gone. They'd be like, oh, so-and-so down the road, her daughter ran away with the mailman. And then Jeff would be like, yo, you hear about this girl running away with the mailman? And it's like, all right, yes. Jeff. All right, Jeff. But he was also kind of rude. He liked Vori. Vori and him pretty much got along. He was tolerant of Jim, and he did not like Margaret, the mother, at all. And he would tell her every time he came back, he was like, you know, I was in a house a lot nicer than this. This house sucks. You are a terrible homemaker. It was really mean. It was awful.
I'm just imagining this little animal just saying that. It's but ridiculous.
Even at this point, I mean, nobody other than Vori, no one else was allowed to, like, look at Jeff. He might be seen out of the corner of your eye or, like, here or there. Vori was the only one who was allowed to just sit and look at him. And he'd, like, come out of his hole and they'd talk together. And
I would ask him so many questions.
Yeah?
I'd be like, hey, Jeff, he's going to win the Red Sox game.
You're omniscient, right? I know, right? We're an ocean away, but come on, man. I got bets to make. Turn this freaking miracle of nature into your bookie.
You want steak every night, Jeff?
give me them numbers. All right.
That's all I'm saying, man. That's all I'm saying.
Now, Jeff also reportedly had a lovely singing voice.
Aww.
And he loved to sing songs like Carolina Moon and the Manx National Anthem. The Manx is the population. It's the ethnic group of people who live on the Isle of Man. So maybe it's Manx. I don't know. And he would also sing Spanish folk songs, but no one in the house spoke Spanish. So that's a little interesting.
Maybe he is omniscient.
Now...
he's bilingual, so obviously he's doing better than
he's
I am.
He's definitely on... he's above us.
Now I'm definitely just getting jealous of Jeff.
Jeff is our overlord.
He gets steak and chocolate and is bilingual.
And bilingual, and he knows all the hot gossip. And...
here, oh my gosh.
Here's the next development.
Could you imagine like a sitcom with Jeff?
It would just be like whenever he talked, it just... the best part about it is Jeff would talk and the camera would just pan to a wall. And it would just show a wall. And they'd be like, yeah, give me some steak, you see. Oh, Jeff.
I'm going to write that for Netflix.
Do it.
Oh, their material's gotten downhill. Why not?
They're going to take anything. Now, the interesting thing about Jeff is he definitely escalates. He definitely gets stranger as he goes along. And
Stranger.
And unfortunately, okay. I believe that pretty much all of this took place in September, but I don't know like how many days from here to here it was and all of that.
Uh-huh.
But at a certain point, of course, he first says, I'm a very special mongoose. Over time, he started to claim other things, as if one of them was that he was the Holy Spirit. Another one was that he was a fifth dimensional being with powers beyond earthly imagination, including the ability to split the atom. So he almost seemed to be like a spiritual being at times, and that's what he would say as well, is that I'm out of the spirit world or out of the fifth dimension. Other times he claimed to be a freak of nature, and he said, I am a freak. I have hands and I have feet, and if you saw me, you'd faint. You'd be petrified, mummified, turned into stone, or a pillar of salt. But then he would do things like he claimed to have a cold. And one day he said, I think his exact words is, I have a goddamned cough, Jim. Oh, I have such a terrible, terrible cold. You'll need to get me something for that. And Jim, like, got him medicine and left it around. And then, like, a few days later, he was like, hey, buddy, thanks for that. That's really nice. But then he starts, and it's so bizarre. It reminds me of in high school, I once did a monologue, because I was a theater kid, of course, and I once did a monologue about like this guy who his entire purpose was to deceive the audience about his true nature. Like, he had like all these different stories, kind of like the Joker in The Dark Knight. And that's kind of the vibe I get from Jeff, is that he... just wants to appear like grandiose when in reality he's probably just like this sad little, and he knows like he's this pathetic
he's
little
the Wizard
hero.
Of Oz.
He's the Wizard of Oz. Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Good. Good. So
right off the cuff there.
Kaboo.
I'm so witty.
I'm so witty.
No, that was you handed that to me on a silver platter.
That's fair.
That was really
pay
easy.
No attention to the little rat behind the wall. He's only an illusion. Now,
oh man,
Jeff, though, like I said, he escalates, and his power begins to grow. And suddenly...
like, his power as in, like, his influence over the family? Or are we talking, like, He's bringing home the bacon now, and not just little rats or rabbits.
Well, I mean, he's not bringing home anything more than rabbits. His emotional influence grows, but then he also develops. And guys, I just want to remind you all, this is attested. This is attested not only by the family, who the daughter, until she died in 2005, never, ever, ever said anything other than Jeff was 100% real. That was all 100% true. But also by countless neighbors, newspapermen, people who were there. So keep that in mind, because the next thing that Jeff does is gain powers of telekinesis.
No, yes. Freaking away.
Yes, and he starts moving objects just by thinking it. And he's got this rubber ball that he bounces down the stairs and then bounces back up the stairs while he's singing every night. Isn't that crazy?
That's freaking terrifying. So weird.
So, and then
he sings all night and bounces this ball. A ball. I would lose my shit.
Yeah, dude.
I would freak out.
And so for the most, this is what I wrote in my notes. I'm going to read it word for word. For the most part, it was all fun and games until it wasn't.
What?
Now, around this time, Jeff began to threaten more than just the poultry. One time he said, "I am not evil. I could be if I wanted. You don't know what damage or harm I could do if I were roused. I could kill you all, but I won't." He's a little mean. He's a little jerk.
He's all fun and games at first.
Right? And then someone got hurt.
This reminds me of, like, just a normal, like, Hollywood ghost movie.
Yeah. We're going to get into that in the end of this.
Oh, good.
So he starts hurling insults at the family. Like I said, he was never super fond of Margaret, but before it was just like, "You're a terrible wife. Your house sucks." And then he started throwing rocks at her head and physically assaulting her. If she wasn't looking and wasn't like on her guard, he would come and just bite her and just really hard, drawing blood, breaking the skin. Then he started mocking Jim. And at one point, like one morning, Jim wakes up and he gets his paper and he's reading his paper. And Jeff starts screaming at him and saying he's a fat-headed gnome and telling him to read it out loud so that Jeff can hear the news. And another time, Jim is reading his Bible and Jeff screams, "Look at the pious old atheist reading his Bible." But again, Vori doesn't seem to be attacked. She's not insulted. She was frightened of Jeff, and there were multiple accounts of, like, him, because he lived in her room, saying frightening things or doing frightening things, but nothing too violent towards her until, and like I mentioned as well, she was the only one to see him, and she described him as being the size of a large rat with yellow fur, a snout like a hedgehog, and a long, bushy tail.
Sounds about right.
I mean, maybe. I don't, yeah. I'm pretty sure a mongoose is bigger than a rat, though.
Pretty sure he's a fifth dimensional mongoose. He's a fifth dimensional mongoose.
You're so right. We're only seeing shadows of Jeff, not the full Jeff. That's fair. Now, there's one night when she is laying in bed trying to sleep, and he goes on one of his babbling runs for hours, and she is just so unnerved by it that she decides to go sleep in with her parents, and suddenly the door to their room starts like being pounded on and kind of like flexing a little bit, and they barricade the door, and Jeff just whispers through the door. He says, "I'll follow her wherever you put her." And then he, using his powers of telekinesis, throws a jar of ointment from one stand over here across the wall and shatters it. And this is when they're like, "Holy crap." And Jeff starts to get super dark and super mean. There's violent screaming that comes from the walls of the house. He's still doing the scratching thing sometimes. He doesn't do the scratching thing anymore. He really doesn't sing that much, doesn't talk that much. There's just screaming at all hours, day and night. There's knocks, there's sounds of movement, but also you'd have screaming in one corner of the house. And then in the other corner of the house, there'd be more screaming at the exact same time. So it was like, is it just him? Is it multiple beings or spirits or mongoose or whatever it is? Like, it's one of the most bizarre things I've ever heard. he also starts just breaking things, pushing things over with reckless abandon. Before, it was kind of a rare feat, and now it was happening all the time. Now, this is when the newspaper gets involved. This is when people start really coming to see him. But even by the time people have been coming to see him, the neighbors have said, like, yeah, this is a real thing. We've seen this happen before. It's been happening for a few weeks now. And they actually catch the attention of one super notable, famous paranormal researcher of the time named Harry Price, who was known for debunking, like, spiritualists and, you know, mediumship and all of that, seances. And he comes to investigate, and, like, Jeff would be active. He would come, Jeff would be quiet, he would leave, and Jeff would be active again. And Jim was like, what are you doing, Jeff? Just, like, why are you quiet every time that Harry Price is here? And Jeff says that he's the man who puts a kibosh on the spirits, and that he's scared of Mr. Price. Now, Mr. Price and his partner, Richard S. Lambert, publish a book on the story of Jeff that became a national hit. It's one of the only reasons this story still survives into the modern day, but the book never states, like, belief in or belief against Jeff. Shortly after the book came out, the Irvings left town. The new owner of the farm said that they never experienced anything close to what the Irvings did, and the Irvings claimed that the encounters with Jeff began to diminish as soon as they decided they were going to move, and by the time they were gone, they were pretty much stopped anyway. But in 1947, the new owner of the farm shot and killed a strange animal he had never seen anything like before, but seemed to match the descriptions of Jeff. And after he left, the house was demolished. There was no...
Super omniscient there, huh?
Yeah, right?
Can't see a bullet coming.
Can't even dodge a bullet, Jeff.
Gosh. Dodge a bullet, dodge a wrench, dodge a ball.
Dodge a Jeff. Once he was gone, the house was demolished, and there was no sign, hide, nor hair of Jeff ever seen or even reported since, which I think is...
I would have stuffed him.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah.
This is Jeff. He's a bit of a dick.
But we love him. You do. You also have, like, there is one supposed photograph of Jeff. We'll put it in the blog post for this one. And he doesn't look like a mongoose or a weasel. He looks kind of like, Vori claims, he looks kind of like a hedgehog more than anything, a hedgehog with a long tail. So it's interesting. That's the story of Jeff. It's one of the most nonsensical things I've ever heard in my life. But for some reason, I believe this 100%. And I know that people like to think of me as, like, the wackadoo true believer. I am actually a little more skeptical than I sometimes appear to be. But this story, I do not know why, but it is. I mean, the big thing is, like I said, he had that interview with the newspaper man.
Yeah, what was the interview like? So, Jeff, what are your favorite pastimes? Well, I like to strangle.
Terror.
I like to strangle rabbits and leave them on the doorstep for Margaret. I think it scares her.
She doesn't appreciate my love. That's the Jeff voice.
Yeah, that's actually,
and I hate it. I hate it.
I wonder if it was good. I really want to know.
The newspaper man was like,
I want it to be an audio file just floating around there somewhere.
The newspaper man was like, well, that is the most wonderful interview I've ever gotten. He was a joy to work with, that Jeff. What a guy.
Jeff, do you want to start working for the paper?
Jeff, you want to be a paper guy?
That'd be great. Jeff's column, and it's just gossip that everyone already knows.
it's like, oh man, it's like talking about, like, world events, like what was happening in the 30s. It'd be like stock market crash, and then, like, 3 weeks later, Jeff be like, I got some hot info for you. The United States stock market is going down.
Is this the end?
Is this the end? Ask Jeffy, he'll tell you. I got a column because I'm Jeff. All right, this is fun.
I know how to type.
With my little hands I used to kill rabbits. There's two things these hands do. They kill rabbits and they type exposés. That's all a man can be. Cool.
Because I know everything.
So, the theories for Jeff are many, varied, far between. Everything you can think of paranormal is ascribed to this case in one way or the other.
He's a fifth-dimensional being.
You think he's a fifth-dimensional being?
No, I don't know, man. Is he a ghost that just wants to, like, look like a mongoose?
It could be. Well, let me give you some of the theories, okay? So,
hit me with
the
theories.
Do you know what a tulpa is? Do you remember that episode of Supernatural?
Oh, dude, yes. So, I was like, I know that.
Yeah. So a tulpa, and I'm sure we'll do a lot more in-depth episode on, like, a Tales of Tulpa one day or something. A tulpa is essentially a thought form that is created by the latent psychic energy of a person or a group of people. So, like, a good modern-day equivalent to Jeff might be something like Slenderman, where you have this...
Slenderman's not real.
Right, exactly. Slenderman's not real. But...
Whoa! You don't think Slenderman's real?
Dude, Slenderman's not real. Slenderman is a dog... We can trace Slenderman's, like, genealogy back to, like, 2005 or 2007.
I think it was, like, 2005. Like,
yeah. So Slenderman's definitely not real. But you do have, and we're not going to say anything about the people making the reports, but you do have reports of things matching Slenderman in nature, in the quote-unquote real world. And essentially what you have is this idea that so many people have put so much time and psychic energy into the idea of Slenderman that it has created a physical being manifest on the plane. This is one of the oldest, and I would say actually best, explanations for Jeff. And the main reasoning is because you can see him grow, essentially, in power.
So he's an imaginary friend?
Kind of, but imaginary friend who tries to stalk your daughter and throws things across the room.
How?
Not a good friend at
all. Why is that collective energy being put
I don't know, man.
I'm just gonna strangle some rabbits. Think about it really hard.
Well, because you start with just
and mock people.
You start with scratching in the walls, right?
Right.
Which
he escalates. Yeah. He escalates quite quickly
from animal speech to human speech to telekinetic properties to threats to all of this. So it would, in theory, be a lot like this idea of a tulpa, which starts again just as a thought, ends up as a real thing. So that's one of the biggest things about Jeff there. Now, one of the explanations about where this came from, there was another researcher who posited that Jeff was a byproduct of the psyche of Jim Irving. And essentially, Jim Irving had this messed up part of himself that really didn't like his wife, really preferred his daughter for company, was an angry, mean person, but he kept it inside so long that it splintered and found its way out one way or the other. The way it found it out was, of course, in the physical plane. So that's
a mongoose thing.
That's the thing, though. He's not a mongoose. Like, the descriptions of Jeff are not the actual, other than him saying, "I'm a mongoose." It's like saying me, I'm a wolf man. I'm not a wolf man. You can see me. I'm hairy. I'd say I'm more like a Sasquatch than a wolf man. But I'm not either one of those. I'm just a guy. And that's the same thing with Jeff. He wasn't a mongoose based on the actual, like, especially Vori's sightings, as well as those little photos of him that have popped up here and there. He was something else. And that's the other idea, is that he's just another kind of a cryptid, just some undiscovered creature. But I don't, if he's just a creature, I don't think he's going to be able to talk and have psycho telekinetic powers.
Right. And I mean, it seems like he likes company anyway. So if there's more of them, we'd have more stories of Jeff.
Yeah, exactly. He wouldn't be this
one. Are they all Jeff?
Am I Jeff?
Are we Jeff?
We're Jeff. Yeah, you wouldn't have just this one extremely isolated incident. Well, maybe you would, though. You know what? With cryptozoology, I mean...
Well, with cryptozoology, there has to be a population.
Right.
A breeding population.
Right, exactly.
So you would expect more than one individual, especially someone so friendly.
Bombastic. Right, but there are cryptids that have only been seen in one place at one time and only had one of them seen, essentially, is what I'm saying. I don't think it's the most likely thing. I think if he was a cryptid, he wouldn't be able to communicate. He wouldn't be able to show psychic powers and telekinetic powers. And he would just be a rat thing living in the wall. So that's that. The other one that's a really popular one is the idea that Jeff, the underlying phenomena of Jeff, was that he was a poltergeist that
Fair.
Haunted the home.
Yeah.
And then either manifested this physical being as a way of explanation, or also they just may have seen some weird creature and been like, oh, that's gotta be the thing. That's gotta be the thing making the noise, when in reality it was a ghost the whole time. The most compelling evidence for this, I would say, would be the idea of Vori. You know, Vori's 12 going on 13. Poltergeist activity is closely linked with young girls going
ghosts
into puberty.
Ghosts like kids.
Ghosts do like kids, yeah.
It's weird.
It's weird. It's linked with girls going through puberty. That's when a lot of poltergeist activity is seen to start. It is. You can
Weird.
Look it up. I know.
I don't want to look
that
up.
And it's because, again, of this idea of this kind of psychic energy, that when that happens, there's this pent-up energy that releases itself this way that's being pushed down so many other times. The other unfortunate, more close to the truth sort of things involve alcoholism and Jim being an alcoholic and either just hearing the voices and everybody else kind of playing along with it out of fear, as well as...
Well, I mean, I don't think that would be necessarily the case, because the daughter, of course, would say that after,
right.
You know, Jim died, or, I mean,
exactly.
Recently at least.
And so then you have the other one, which would be, again, related to alcoholism, but instead that... Vori was being hurt by her father, essentially, and did this as a way of acting out.
A coping mechanism?
Yeah, coping mechanism, which would make sense, theoretically, as to why she stood by the explanation until she died.
Right.
Was because in her psyche, that was what it was. It was mm-hmm. Jeff, it wasn't her father. Unfortunately, not a lot is known about the Irvings apart from this case. I'm trying to think of any other good ones. We got poltergeists, we got tulpas, spiritual beings. He's not omniscient, though. He's not all-knowing.
Yeah, otherwise he would have seen that bullet coming.
Exactly. He just had delusions of
maybe
grandeur.
He was ready for its end.
It could be.
Maybe he knew it was coming. He accepted it.
At that point, he'd be 96 years old.
I'd be over it.
That's four times. All your mongoose friends are dead. Any human friends you make, probably dead as well. And if you didn't kill them yourself, the difference, the only thing I would say on the poltergeist front that doesn't make as much sense is the fact that it didn't necessarily follow them to a new home. Of course, the poltergeist is going to focus around one specific individual and sometimes will follow them to another home.
He kind of did that a little bit with the daughter.
Right.
Right.
Right. She was obviously the object of his affection, I guess. It's creepy, creepy affection.
Lack of harm.
Lack of harm. Sometimes when you like someone, you show that by not hurting them.
Yeah.
If your default is to hurt everybody and you don't hurt this person, there you go. It's like out of a young adult novel. It's terrible. What do you think, Jason? Be honest, be brutal, be whatever you want to be. Thank you for sitting here for the last hour and 20 minutes with me, and not just... I was kind of worried that I was going to say we're talking about Jeff the Talking Mongoose,
and I just get up and leave.
Stand up and walk out. I really was worried.
I'm already
about
here.
That.
I mean, why not?
What
I
else
have to
am
stand
I going
to back
do
up? I don't know. Real things. I think everyone's just crazy.
You think it was a mass psychosis? Mass hallucination sort of scenario?
Probably, maybe.
I think that's fair.
I think they, like, heard something.
Uh-huh.
And then, because for all the information that we have gotten from Jeff, it's all stuff that's pre-existing knowledge for
right.
everyone in the family.
Right. None of it is anything nobody didn't know. That's the I mean, that's the other big thing about
it. Like, it's not like Jeff told some deep, dark secret Jim had before he met Margaret or something.
Right.
You know, there's nothing like that.
So the only thing that I would say is in direct opposition to that idea that he never said anything new was the time when Jim was reading his Bible and he said, look at the pious old atheist.
Right.
It could be that Jim Irving was going through some sort of like crisis of faith, losing his religion sort of scenario.
Are we sure he wasn't just saying that to himself?
Right. Well, that's exactly where the idea of it being an offshoot of his own personality. He feels this guilt about living this life that he knows he's supposed to live, but he doesn't, from the church to his wife to everything there. So it is bizarre. But there are so many like different tiny little markers that make it seem more credible than I would think. And it's things like the fact that...
Do you ever take pictures like scratch marks, bites, anything like that?
No. I will say in that book that was published by Harry Price, they did analyze something that was supposedly could have been hair from Jeff. I don't know where they found it. I don't know if the family told him it was it or what, or if they just found it during the thing. Turned out to just be from the dog. The other thing is they did find...
They had a dog?
They had a dog.
You never even told me about the dog.
I'm sorry, I let you down.
Oh my gosh.
I need to tell you about all the dogs.
Dog, plural?
I mean, just in general.
Oh, yeah,
they only
obviously
had one dog. There were prints that were found that were a little weird, but to be completely straight, they didn't look super real. They lacked the contours of skin, essentially.
Okay.
So... probably fake there, but still it could be your classic Ed Walters UFO sighting in Gulf Breeze where you believe something, you see something, and you believe it so much that you're willing to hoax in order to get other people to believe it because you know you just sound crazy. So
Right. There's
that. I think that for me, one of the biggest things, which I mean people may think of as being, maybe I'm just wrong, one of the biggest things for me as to why it could be credible is that after the Irvings left, the activity completely ceased. Usually, in cases like this, you still get, even if it's just one or two wackadoos, who are like, oh, I went there and I saw this and I had this experience and that experience. Whereas with this, it was simply over when the Irvings left. So it's little things like that.
Oh, he was heartbroken.
He was heartbroken. As well as the fact that he claimed so much grandiose things and he was completely wrong about all of them. Like, he's not omniscient, he's not all-knowing, he probably can't actually hurt them, he's just scary. Like, I don't know. It's one of those things like, why would you lie about that? Why would you give details like that and then immediately follow them up with, but he was wrong, you know? It's okay, microphone. The other thing about it for me is just, again, you have, and unfortunately, though, it could just be the psychological buffer of the daughter, Vori Irving, to the day she died. She once gave an article to Fate magazine and said, there was a little creature who was in our home. His name was Jeff, but I really wish he had just left us alone, essentially. So it could just be that she was covering it all up and using it as a way to cope with trauma. That's probably, unfortunately, the most realistic thing. But it just blends so well into so many different areas of the paranormal. I mean, even things like when you look at like it strangling rabbits with little hands. I mean, like a goblin, an imp, something like that. I mean, it could be anything. But all we know for sure is it was Jeff.
Its name was Jeff.
Its name
it came,
was Jeff.
Terrorized it. Then we left.
He was a good boy. No, he wasn't a good boy. He was a terrible, terrible beast.
I love how he was at first. He's like, hey guys, guess what? I'm a great roommate. I'll do all the dishes.
Yeah, man.
I'll turn off the stove. Don't worry. It's going to be fantastic. Weekend, complete disaster.
Disaster. Just like, I can do this, and then everything falls apart. He's interesting. I'm glad that we did this episode.
How long did the family live there before Jeff started?
I couldn't even find that, man. I know.
Wonderful.
I know, man. It's, if I had, there's like that book, which I wasn't able to find, but I wish that I had had more time to spend with this one. Like I said, we had an interview that we were supposed to do today. It fell through and I only had about half a day to research all
and
of this.
And the best thing you came up was Jeff.
Well, I wanted to do moves. Jeff. As soon as like this opening presented itself, I was like, this is it. Strap in, we're doing Jeff.
But don't tell Jason.
Maybe one day we'll do like Jeff 2.0 and I'll cover it in a better light. But I don't know, man. It's a good story.
We should just have that recap episode.
That, oh yeah, we should. Like a where are they now?
Yeah, exactly.
Jeff still more tales dead of on this. The Isle of Man.
Jeff is probably decomposed and returned to the earth.
Peace be unto you, Jeff.
Stop being mean.
Stop being a jerk. All right, cool. Any other theories? Anything else you want to posit? Any last closing remarks? Do you want
I'm done with Jeff.
Do you want to like unplug everything and break our microphones and never record another podcast again? Is that where are you on like the angry level?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm never going to name a child Jeff now.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't planning on it.
My brother-in-law's name is Jeff.
Ah, that guy.
It's a... You don't... You've never met him.
No. Gosh darn, Jeff.
Dang, Jeff. All right. Cool.
Is it spelled with a G?
It is spelled with a G.
Oh, is there an O in it?
There is an O.
Oh, he's one of those.
He's one Jeff. Of those Jeffs. Hi, Jeff.
It's Jeff.
Cool.
Anything else we need to get out of the way, Sam?
Well, that's all we got for Jeff. Oh, so gosh, we did, though, you know, like we had the last few weeks have been a little slow on reviews and on patrons and stuff like that. But we actually had a few reviews this week. Let me pull them all up here. So this week we got looks like 4 new reviews, 3 of which were 5-star. 1 was 3-star.
Yeah, okay. That's more like it.
That's more like what we believe.
That's
we're
what I expect.
So we have Pinky Wit. Thank you, Pinky. The Medium Matters. Thank you, The Medium Matters. We have A-Sling33. Thank you, A-Sling33. And we have Hey Caleb Morris. Thank you, Hey Caleb Morris. We're going to go ahead and read A-Sling33.
Ooh.
So it says spooky because it's from real people. It is from
Love
real
it.
People. I am a real person. I'm a real boy.
Are we Sam?
Dude, we'll talk about
this again.
No, we're gonna talk about this in the
oh god
debrief. Katie and I rewatched god. The Matrix recently. I got a lot of thoughts I wanted
to. Oh man.
Okay. So they say, I love this podcast. Hearing other people's experiences with the paranormal, mysterious, and just strange is fascinating. You really aren't alone if you've seen something. Now here's the thing. She says if you've seen something. The next word, which I think is a un-auto-corrected version of the word unexplainable, because that's the next word after it. But basically it says, if you've seen something, E-O-U-W-P-E-A-T-W-P-E-T-U. U-A-P-T-P-E-T-U. U-A-P-T-O-W-T-U. P-E-T-U.
Have you never heard that word before, Sam?
Yeah.
It means... Obviously.
I wumbo, you wumbo. So I'm going to cut that out then. We'll just say, if you've seen something unexplainable in your life. The host is fantastic, does a great job of letting the stories speak for themselves and adding his own tidbits afterwards. Highly recommend. Thank you, iSling33. That's so nice. We love our reviews. They're so nice. We're up to 94.
Woo!
If you
almost at 100.
Yep. If you
triple digits.
go and leave one, there is a good chance you could be number 100. And if you are number 100,
you'll be number one in my heart.
If I am ever in the same, if I'm ever within 20 miles of you, I'm making this promise. I will drive to you and give you a high five. Okay,
Sam, you don't even drive to my house, and I'm down the street.
Right, but you're not my number 100 review. So
not yet.
Oh no, we're not gonna inflate the review counts. With fake reviews, that's ridiculous.
No, it'll be a real review.
Okay, and then we got a good amount of new patrons as well.
Ooh.
So let me take a look here.
People like us.
I think I'm going to say this just to be safe. Wait, when did we drop the last episode?
Dude, I don't know. You did it. Not me.
That's true. Okay, I can't remember if I said these people last week, so if I did, you get another shout-out. So we want to thank Paula Green, Yay, Paula!
I think we said that one.
Okay. Sounds what about kind of familiar. Emma Larson?
Screw it. We'll say them all. Yeah. Emma Larson! Emma Larson!
Yay! And then these ones I know we haven't done. We want to thank Tristan Caps.
Yay, Tristan!
We want to thank Ken and Angela Wardle.
Yay, Ken and Angela!
We want to thank Madeline Kren.
Yeah, Madeline!
We want to thank Kevin Pintka. Yeah, Kevin! We want to thank Matt Baldwin.
All right, Matt!
And we want to thank Mark Davids.
Yeah, Mark!
Guys, thank you so much. It means so much to us that so many of you, I think we're over 50 patrons now, over 50 people have said, you know what, this podcast is worth the price of a cup of coffee to me every month. I get so much enjoyment out of it that I'm happy to give back that way. If you feel the same, go to patreon.com/notalonepodcast. See what you can do to help support the show. Even if not, still love you. We also set up a Facebook discussion group.
Oh, no.
Yep. So that's pretty fun. We've got that started. It's like 60 people or so. Jason's even posted in it.
Did I?
He posted a comment on somebody's thing.
Oh,
so
yeah, that's right.
If you're lucky, Jason, who I think I have seen made 6 social media posts since the time we became friends on Facebook, like a year and a half ago.
It doesn't happen often.
Yeah. You might see a wild Jason in the wild if you join the Facebook group. So that's called, it's called Remember We Are Not Alone, a community of the strange, I believe is what it's called. Or I'll put a link to it on the blog post.
Yeah, that's a better idea.
What else? So this is coming out on Thursday. I think that on Friday, the good Dr. Cogswell of the Mad Scientist podcast will be releasing the part 2 of the Lowdown, wherein I sit with them and we talk about the Low Files. We're covering 3 episodes there, so it should be pretty good. I might be starting another podcast. I don't know. We'll see. That might be in the works.
I'm not invited to that one.
Well, it's because you don't enjoy the subject matter.
That's true.
So, what life announcements do you have?
Dude, I've got nothing.
Jason has a Tinder and he's been on it.
I'm moving
a lot,
in December
so.
And it's freaking me out.
Where are you moving?
I don't know yet. Haven't figured it out.
Oh,
I know.
No.
My roommate's leaving me, so.
I thought you were just going to have an empty room.
He moved up the time scale. That's the problem. So,
dang.
I have to figure
please
that
don't
out
move
eventually.
To Nampa.
Dude, no, never.
Everybody's moving to Nampa or Seattle. Don't go to either of those places.
I'll go to Portland.
Don't go to Portland.
I know, right?
Hello, Portland listeners.
See, that's what he wants to do, and I'm so sad about it.
Anyway.
Yep. That's my life announcement.
So,
if you need a roommate and you're in the Boise area,
let Jason know. He'd love to be your roommate. You'd have great times. I promise he doesn't talk about paranormal things if he's not on the show. So, like, he wouldn't be weird like I would.
I really don't.
It's fine. Cool. Let me just think. Yeah.
That's it, man.
I think that's it. I think we got
it. All the topics. What is that beeping?
And there's some mysterious beeping telling us to
watch
end,
out.
So.
The walls are going to start talking to us.
All right, who did it last week?
Pretty sure I did.
You did? What was it? It was the Mad Gasser.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, I did. I do remember that. Okay. Remember, whether you are a fifth dimensional being surveying a lower order of intelligence, or some guy screaming at his wall, we are